Take your Bibles tonight. I'm going to jump right in. Genesis chapter number 26. I'm going to look at verse 23 down through verse number 25. We're going to launch off from there tonight. Let me just say thank you to Kazadale Baptist Temple. And thank you to your pastor's wife. A lot of work, I know, goes into this. Thank you for all those that work behind the scenes and all those that were seen this week. And thank you for the food. It's great. I enjoyed it a lot, and Brother Rowley enjoyed a lot of it. It was good. And so, I want to say thank you. We just came through Vacation Bible School, and so it's a lot of work doing these things, but it is so rewarding. It's a good tired tonight. It's good to be worn out for the Lord. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to be here this week. Genesis chapter number 26, verse 23, down through verse number 25 tonight. Says, and he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Isaac came to sojourn in the valley there of Gerar, the area that his father had sojourned in many years earlier. And while Abraham was there, Abraham had dug some wells. And we talked about those wells this week, young people, and a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching and a lot of the devotions were geared around this portion of Scripture. And so it's very familiar to you right now. Very fresh in your mind right now. And maybe for us adults, it would be good to go back and read that again and re-dig some of the truths out of that portion of Scripture like we did this week with your young people. But Abraham had sojourned there, and he had built, he had dug some wells there, and we saw the importance of those wells and how they were drastically needed then, and you had to have water. And I think I mentioned this week that your body is made up of 60% water. I said to the kids in the junior chapel, I said, some of us just have bigger wells than others. But, they all looked at me. I don't understand that. But anyway, water's important. Abraham needed water. His livestock needed water. His servants needed water. And he then moves on, and his son later on comes to the same area to sojourn for a little while, and he redigs those wells of his father. The Philistines had filled them in and covered them up and tried to get rid of the wells or hide the wells and dismiss the wells, but Isaac comes and redigs those wells. And digging those wells, I learned a little bit about him, the desperation there, and his desperation. You have to have water. By the way, you need spiritual water. You need living water. These were wells springing up, it says. That has the connotation of a ever-living, ever-replenishing, ever-giving then. And so a good picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the way. But I notice his desperation, his preparation. He was prepared to dig, and the perspiration, the sweat that it took to redig those wells, and even the altercation. And the older kids remember me talking a little bit about these things. He had to strive for some of those wells. There were some altercations there. But his determination, he was going to dig those wells. And then I talked a little bit about the exemplification there. Somebody took notice of his God from digging those wells. He exemplified his God then just from digging those wells. By the way, you dig some spiritual wells and somebody will take notice of who you are in Christ. Amen. You know, we lived in England for 10 years and we kind of sojourned there. And when we came back after being there for that time, and it seemed like forever, but now I look back and I think, man, it just wasn't long enough. And we brought back some things with us. You always take some things back with you after you go and visit someplace. You go on vacation, and some of us collect different types of souvenirs when we go and sojourn for a week somewhere. If you go to the beach, you bring back some shells or sand dollars or a major sunburn or something like that. You always bring something back with you. Now, I have to think, as he sojourned there and dug those what were some things that he took with him? What are some things that he brought with him as he left that area after digging those wells? And I just want to call these to your attention. I'm very simple-minded, in case you haven't figured it out yet. I'm going to try to keep it simple for you tonight. I notice he went with a personal experience. He left there with a personal experience. In verse 18, it says, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." Isaac's father Abraham had been there, and many years earlier, Abraham had been there and at the exact spot and had a personal experience with God. In Genesis 21, verse 27, it says, "And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. He had done some work there, but he also had a worship there. Then, in verse 33 of chapter 21, it says, "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there upon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." And so I noticed there's something that Abraham took after he sojourned there. He took with him his work, but also his worship, remembering those things, that personal experience that he had at that spot. And I noticed that Isaac, his son, took the same thing when he left there. He had a personal work there in Genesis 26:18. He redug the wells of water there. And he had a personal worship there in Genesis 26, verse 24. "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night." In verse 25, he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. It's the same experience that his dad had, but it was his personal experience. I'm thankful that I've had a personal experience with God, that God revealed to me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and the only way that I could have everlasting life was putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. But back in 1970, before I was even born, my daddy had the same experience, but it was his personal experience, having trusted Christ as his Savior. And I couldn't live off of his faith, but I can learn from his faith. And that's exactly what I told our older ones this week. Right. I can't live off of my daddy's faith, but I can sure learn from it.
Amen.
And I had to make it personal for me. It's not that I'm a Christian because my parents were. It's not that I'm saved because my parents were saved. It has to be a personal experience. Isaac leaves with a personal experience of having met with God. At the wells, Isaac went away with a personal experience. But at the wells, Isaac went away with the peace of God. In Genesis 26:22, "And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. He called the name of it Rehoboth. And for that they strove not." The other two wells were a picture of the contention and the strife and the hatred there. You go back and look just a couple verses back there, and you'll see he digged the other two wells, Esek, and then also another there, Sitnah. And there was contention and there was a bitter hatred of strife. There was some animosity there, and there wasn't peace there. But he kept digging, and he found peace there at Rehoboth. And there wasn't a strife there and a contention there. And boy, you just keep digging, you'll find some peace with God. Amen. He had the peace of God, and he had peace with God. You won't know the peace of God until you have peace with God, and that comes through Jesus Christ. Verse 26, verse 24, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Be scared." That's not what it says. It says, "Fear not." Fear not. Finally a peace, but also a forever peace. in one of the hardest and most difficult times, at a time of strife and contention, Isaac found peace, a lasting peace, and God gave him a peace. And I'm reminded in John chapter 14, verse 27, the Lord said to his disciples in one of the most difficult times of their lives, knowing that Christ was going to go to the cross of Calvary and lay down his life, and understanding everything that his disciples would be going through, the grief and the sorrow and even the fear. What's he say to them? He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I'm thankful he leaves there with a personal experience, but he leaves there with the peace of God. Amen. And he also leaves that place at the wells there. Isaac went away with the presence of God. In Genesis 26, verse 24, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee." He doesn't say, "I'm with Abraham." He says, "I'm with you." Amen. I'm thankful he was with my father, and he's still with me tell you, I'm so thankful there's a presence of God in my life. He says, "I'll never leave you, never forsake me." I'm thankful for that presence of God in my life. When I go through the struggles, when I go through the trials, when I go through the heartaches, when I go through the hurts, he's with me. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, neither be afraid. Nor be afraid, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. At the wells, Isaac went away with a personal experience. He went away from the wells then with the peace of God. He went away from the wells with the presence of God. He went away from the wells with the promises of God. In Genesis 26, verse 24, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee." And if I just stopped right there, that's a good promise. But he says, "And will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." God had made a covenant promise with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." In verse 24 of chapter 26, "And I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." But do you realize that God had not failed to keep his promise with Abraham? And Isaac could rest assured, and his promises were good for my father. It was good for my father. It's good enough for me. Amen. And no doubt he goes away. There's probably came a time in his life that he thought, "Is that all right? Is that all true? Is that even possible? Abraham has told his son about the promises of God. Now he's witnessing the promises of God for himself." I'm thankful that my daddy told me that I could rest and rely and repose in the promises of God, but it's so much greater when I realize it for myself. Yes, amen. At the wells, Isaac went away with a personal experience. At the wells, he went away with the peace of God. He went away with the presence of God. He went away with the promises of God, but he went away from the wells with a praise. He went away from the wells with a praise. In Genesis 26, 25, it says that he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. The altar speaks of a worship, and he offered his praise, and he offered, and by the way, when I say praise and worship together, that's not a bad thing. I know the world's twisted it today, and there's a lot of hokey stuff that goes on in the name of worship or in the name of praise, but when we come and we gather together and we sing glory to the Lord and lift his name up high and holy, we're singing praises for what he's done and who he is and what he will do and what he's promised us. And it's okay to, by the way, it's okay to shout a little bit too. I'm just saying, he went away there a little bit different. He went away with a praise, and he went away praising God for who he is and what he's done and the promises that he's committed to him. And Psalm 86, verse 12 says, "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever." at the wells, Isaac took away a personal experience. He took away the peace of God. He went away with the presence of God, and he went away with the promises of God. But I notice, this is my last point. I have your attention now, don't I? Don't worry, I'll talk a little slower. I noticed he didn't go away alone. He went away with the people. He went away with, there was others with him. In Genesis 26, verse 16, it says, "And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." Abimelech said Isaac was mightier than we. That doesn't mean that it was just Isaac that could take on Abimelech and his army and his men. When it speaks of mighty, it speaks of a plurality, a numerality. It speaks of a larger presence. It's not talking about Isaac's weight. I'm just saying. He had a lot of servants. He had a lot of people with him. And Abimelech, that's why they strove for the wells to begin with, because there had to be, we want to make sure there's enough water for everyone, and they were worried about there not being enough water for them, and so there was some striving. By the way, the Lord Jesus has enough water for all of us. But Isaac came to the wells pretty mighty in number with a large amount of servants, and Isaac came with some people, and Isaac left with some people. Isaac left with his servants. Isaac left with people that were fond of the water there in Genesis 26, 32. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." That was a pretty exciting thing. They were pretty fond of that. I mean, they had to have the water. And when they come, "Hey, Isaac, we found it. We found water. We got it." There was an enjoyment there, it seems to be. And they were fond of the water, but they were fine with the work. He went with his servants, but he went with his sons. Jacob and Esau. In Genesis 25, 24, and 26, we read of the birth of Isaac's sons. Jacob and Esau are born there. So they would have been with him, not just his servants, but his sons. By the way, Isaac's sons would later go two different directions. Jacob seems to spend some time around the area that these wells would have been in while Esau leaves them. Jacob, whose name is later changed to Israel, inherits the promised land and would encompass the area which these wells were dug. Whereas Esau and his descendants settled around Mount Seir, which is south of Canaan, south of just south of the promised land, just outside the promised land. Boy, there's a good illustration there. By the way, when Jacob leaves home that first night, and I don't have time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
goes south, Jacob goes north, and ends up at the same place around the area where Isaac redug the wells of his father. It's quite interesting. It would seem to me that Jacob has his own personal experience with the Lord there in Genesis chapter number 28. It says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba, just outside of Beersheba then, on his way to Haran then, and he lighted upon, and it says, a certain place, and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. The exact same promise that was given to Abraham was given to Isaac, and now it's given to Jacob. Probably around that same general area. You go on down, it says, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is an awesome place. This is an incredible place, because that's where God spoke to him directly. Listen, can I just tell you, camp this week, to me, was an awesome place, an incredible place. And if God didn't speak to you, I'm just going to tell you, he spoke to me this week. Amen. I'm not out of it just because I preached this week. I took notes and listened to the other preachers, and the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart. This is an awesome place. This is an incredible place. And the preacher asked us, we're going to come back.
Amen.
Why? Because I want my kids to have the same experience.
Yes.
I watched as two of my children were campers this week, and Eli came on duty after one of the services, and he said, Dad, will you pray with me? And he made some decisions there. What an awesome thing it was to be there with my son and to pray with him as God dealt with him and spoke to his heart. And it's not my experience, but it's his. But I have to witness it, and I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
Surely the Lord's in this place. Tell your parents, it would do you good to make sure your kids go to the well.
Amen.
Dig some for yourself, but take them back. Go back and sojourn there every once in a while. Just remind them of the well that you drew from. And remind them of Jesus Christ and what he did for you. That well of water springing up into everlasting life. And how he gave himself on the cross of Calvary for your sin. And you repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Remind them of the well. You may have to even redig it every once in a while because you became complacent or apathetic, and it would do you good to do that. It's not that they can draw out of your well, that they can draw from the same well and have the same type of water, the everlasting life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can have their own experience, but tell them about yours. I just want to ask you something, young people. Listen to me. I just want to ask you tonight. What are you going to do when you leave here? My prayer is this. My prayer is that you've had a personal experience with the Lord this week. And I know this much. If our hearts have been in tune with the Lord and our hearts have been open and receptive to the Holy Spirit of God, there's not one preacher that got up and preached a message that you didn't need to hear from the Holy Spirit. Go out of here with a personal experience of having met with God. Maybe you needed to be saved. I'm thankful that we have one that got saved. What a personal experience. But I'm going to tell you, outside of that, I still have a personal experience with God. I pray you go out of here realizing that God has made you some precious promises. We'll go a year before we come back here, but his promises are still the same. Don't you forget, he promised, I'll never leave thee, don't forsake thee. You're going to have some hard times, some difficult times this year. There will be some hardships and struggles. I promise you. But there's one that walks with you every day when you step forward to the name of Jesus Christ. It's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. My prayer is that you'll take some people with you as well. I watch as my children have made some friends this week, and boy, I'm thankful that my kids have been able to make some friendships with other Christians and other solid Baptist churches that I know will stand strong on the Bible and on Scripture and doctrinally be where they need to be. And my children will build those relationships and those friendships. Why? Because they need them. They have to have them. If you don't have those types of relationships and those fellowships with other brothers and sisters in Christ that believe the Bible just down the line like you do, you will struggle. Of God, the presence of God, the promises of God. Stay close to the people of God.